Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
Now in studio by Mr. Martin Nolan, who's an old friend of ours. You might have seen him on with me on the Late Late Show a few times. He's from Julian's Auctions in Hollywood. And good morning to you, Martin.
Good morning, Ryan. Good to be here.
Happy Friday indeed. And it's good to see you again. And of course, you have some really, really intriguing items with you. These are letters. They're going to be on display in Newbridge Silverware from today to the 28th of November before they go on auction in the States. So we're getting this lovely sneak preview of them up close and personal. And for me, what an honour to be even closer to them, to actually see them here before us today. What are we talking about?
Yeah, so this is part of the lost archive of Marilyn Monroe, a collection of letters that she kept and were found with her after she passed away in 1962. So these are the letters that were really important to her. Amazing love letters, Ryan. Arthur Miller, a fantastic gifted writer, but when he wrote love letters to Marilyn Monroe, so descriptive, so detailed. And what you're holding there is a very rare letter from Marilyn Monroe to Arthur Miller.
Wow. I mean, I always get amazed as a lover of history and I love letters. To be holding a letter by Marilyn Monroe in her own handwriting is quite an experience, actually, because remember when we did the Who Do You Think You Are program, and we found a letter written in the handwriting of my great-grandparents, and to run your finger along a signature is quite something, because you do feel like you're shaking hands with a ghost.
Absolutely. That's the wow factor. That's the tingling you get in the back of your neck.
Yeah, and it shouldn't, because all it is a piece of paper with some words on it. But really, it can be quite an effect, can't it?
People get very emotional, and especially the Marilyn Monroe fans. They love to come and they want to touch. Of course, we don't let them touch, but if they have gloves, etc. But for clothing, even, they want to actually smell the clothing. For me, which is like, my God, that's so unusual. But people love it and they get a real sense of wow.
Yeah, I think smelling the clothing I'd find a bit weird.
Yes.
If you know the way some people can be a bit peculiar about these, I don't know if I'd go for the nose into the sleeve, but the letter I can certainly appreciate. Can you put her in context? I've always been bemused or mystified by the Arthur Miller, Marilyn Monroe. He was the uber geek writer, author of Death of a Salesman and so many other stories. And she was, of course, one of the most beautiful women ever to exist on the planet Earth. So how did that happen? I mean, I'm intrigued.
So me too. So, of course, what you're saying there, he's not really the best looking guy out there.
Well, he's not George.
About anybody.
Right, he's not George Clooney, but he obviously has, intellectually, he was.
So you think about Marilyn Monroe, first of all, she always felt vulnerable. She always doubted herself. She always aspired to be greater, to improve and perfect herself. She never knew her father. So I see part of it being sort of like he was like almost a father figure. Also, he was an intellectual. She strived to be intellectual. She wanted to be considered as intelligent and bright, and she started reading books after she met him, and she went back to acting class again in 1954. She met him initially in 51, but then they started dating back again in 1956.
And do you know how they met? Was it on a set?
Met on a set initially in 51 when she was a new actress and he was besotted by her, but he wrote a letter to say afterwards, of course, that, you know, he wanted to get to know her then, but he didn't feel it was appropriate. He was married, of course, his wife Mary and had two young children. And then, of course, in 1956, they did come together again and had a wonderful relationship. They were together for about 12 years.
Were they that long together?
Yeah.
I had no idea. I would have had maybe three or four in my head for some weird reason. But
and the romance was tremendous. And if you read these letters before they got married, and he was still married to Mary, and the kids were young, and his parents were there, and his sister, etc. But he was having this amazing relationship. And these letters, I mean, if you were to read some of them, it's just amazing.
So when he was married with the kids, was he writing love letters to Marilyn Monroe?
He was writing love letters. He was based in Reno, Nevada, where he was writing he wrote The Misfits there as well, which was filmed there as well. But he was constantly writing, of course. And Marilyn herself was making her movies. That was a busy movie time for her.
So they were having an unconsummated, if you like, a platonic romantic affair through, not even affair, but a correspondence. Through letter.
Yes.
Or was there more than that?
Well, it was much more than that, and you'll see that in the letters that I have here. But of course, at weekend, she was staying at Chateau Marmont in Hollywood, which is a very famous celebrity hotel, and she was working and filming, probably working on Bus Stop at the time. And then when they got married, they came to London, where they were filming The Prince and The Showgirl during their honeymoon. But she, you know, she would visit him in Nevada and vice versa. He would visit her in Beverly Hills, and they were trying to do it all very discreetly away from. And Ryan, of course, it was before we had texting and emails and Facebook
paparazzi and
all,
to an extent,
and paparazzi. So they wrote letters, amazing letters. Even sometimes he would write 2 letters in a day and numerous pages.
So what jumps out? I'm holding this letter from, I'm trying to read Marilyn Monroe's handwriting. This is the actual letter in her actual handwriting.
This is a draft of the letter now. So obviously she didn't send it, so she kept this with
her.
She
kept this.
We presume that possibly she rewrote it again, because you see a lot of corrections there in her own words, where she marked things out and rewrote other words.
It says, Dear Art, I'm thinking about Sunday's letter, April 21st. I want you to know this. Poppy?
Yes. They had all sorts of names. Pooh and Poppy and...
Or is it Poppy or Poppy?
Poppy.
Poppy. So
yes.
Okay, so now we're into the father figure thing.
I think so. It seems to be.
This is a kind of a quack psychologist would go, all right.
Yeah.
First flag
and also
rises.
She called him Poppycock.
Well, that's between her and him. Let's leave.
Is that not suitable for morning radio?
Morning glory, maybe, but we'll leave that. We'll leave that to the pair of them. Poppy, you said that... I can't really read her writing. I don't think it's hugely legible. Had not lived. Why don't you read some of the excerpts from her letter?
Yeah, I'll read a little bit of that. So basically, this is a letter, Ryan, where Arthur had written to Marilyn, and she's responding to the letter where he's like praising her, and she's saying, partly because I had not lived the lie of propriety and so-called morality. But my darling, what you don't understand was never once was this offered to me. And maybe if it had been possible for me to have that, I might have just gone down that road. In other words, there was no choice to make. The same road was always before me. So when you speak of my nobility, it really wasn't so noble. But my dear, 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 that you love me makes so much that has happened to me and is happening to me, in the worst sense, unreal. And still I know from all my nerves and muscles and mind that they did happen. So you see how it's doubly difficult to understand that you, the first different, most beautiful human being, chooses me to love.
It's quite intense.
Yeah. That's very intense.
Quite intense and romantic.
Yeah, and it sort of speaks to Marilyn always had self-doubts. I mean, and maybe that's what made her great, because she was striving always to do better. You know, she was a model and then an actress, a comic actress, and then she wanted to be considered as a serious actress. She strived and strived and strived, as she as well built the brand of Marilyn Monroe. And that's what she is. She's a brand that she created in 1956. She never knew her father. She grew up in foster homes. She was married 3 weeks after her 16th birthday, because the other choice was to go back into another foster home.
Right, I didn't know any of this. I didn't know her back. I don't know her backstory at all.
Yeah, it's so tragic, and that she rose above all that, and she was so, you know, I would say vulnerable, and yet so beautiful. I mean, she had everything, and yet she had very, very little.
I'm reading this brilliant book at the moment. Nearly finished it, called The Hype and Glory by William Goldman, all about his time as a judge on the panel in Cannes.
Yeah.
And he is he wrote the screenplay for Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid. He wrote the screenplay for Marathon Man, and he also wrote the original book and screenplay for The Princess Bride.
Yes.
And it's one of the most brilliantly written books I think I've read, because it's just so snappy and waspish and fun. It was Gay Byrne, actually. Gave it to me for Lend. I'll get it back to you before Christmas. but I can see why he gave it to me, because it's just got a lovely feel to it in terms of the observations he makes about actors and actresses and everything in between. And he describes the best known actors and actresses as among the most sad human beings he knows. And there's a desperate sadness to these people who you think have it all.
Yeah, and I think it's partly because they strive to be great, and they have to be greater and greater and greater, and that everything else is let go. You know, they don't focus on their personal life.
Yeah.
You know, Marilyn, you know, her life was sad. But what's really evident here in these letters, and if I was to read something from Martha
Please
Miller...
Please do. His are typed, I noticed. That's the difference.
And then he writes additional notes in handwritten as...
Can I look at one of them while you're reading the other one?
As he's rushing to the post office.
Yes, I can see that. And the stamp is there. In pencil.
In pencil.
To M. Monroe...
Yes.
Hotel Chateau Marmont, 8221 Sunset Boulevard, Hollywood. Wow, how about that?
California. That's a very famous hotel. Great hotel still today. Celebrities love to go there.
From Reno, Nevada.
Real Nevada.
See, this is it. You won't be able to get this on a bloody email or a text. That's what's killing me. We won't, you know, like me on Facebook.
It's amazing. But you can read there. So he's writing that if the movie finishes on the 20th, we'll be together in the cottage he's talking about. And then you can read there, say, go to the second paragraph there if you want to read that.
Do you realise that this is from Arthur Miller to Marilyn Monroe, Sunday night late, addressed to dearest wife. Do you realise that when you are here, my agony will be over and yours? Do you know what I'm going to do when you're here? Well, let's see. As I come awake in the mornings, I will feel you asleep beside me, the way you lie there, a little child in my arms, for whom I would fight to the death against all dragons.
Capital letters.
And I will close my eyes again after looking at your beautiful mouth, your eyelids, your breasts, and I will say to myself, pretending, oh, where is my poo? Where is my sweet little bird? And I will turn over and then discover you really there, capitals again. Then I will send up a little vote of thanks to my special cloud, and I will not move until you stir. And then you will open your eyes and say, oh, poppycock, and I will kiss you and hold you close to me, and sensational things will then happen. All sorts of slides, rollings, pitchings, rambunctiousness of every kind. And then I will sigh, and you will rest your head on my shoulder, and slowly I will get hungry.
Is that amazing?
And it goes on.
Yeah.
It goes on to fried eggs then.
And the eggs burning.
And the eggs burn because they're too busy. Yes. He's turning around kissing her breasts. I see them. Okay, so...
And then they go for a walk by the lake, and he finds all places where they can make love by the lake. He has it all planned.
Well, in fairness, would you blame him? You know, and, you know, he's...
he was doing very well.
All his Christmases come through. Well, mind you, a text says Arthur Miller was gorgeous. Just because he was nerdy doesn't make him physically unattractive. He and Marilyn looked great together. What do you take from the letters, generally, Martin?
What I think, because you always felt that Marilyn didn't have love in her life. You know, she didn't have it as a child, you know, foster parents, and never knew her father. Her grandfather died in a mental institution. Her mother was in a psychiatric institution. She had that fear that she would end up in an institution for mental illness. So she was sort of driving herself crazy. But what really I see here is she was truly loved. Arthur Miller loved her.
Adored her.
Joe DiMaggio absolutely loved her. Right. He wasn't the, you know, accomplished writer that Arthur Miller was, but he wrote an amazing letter as well. And he's just begging her to come back to him after she announced her divorce. They were only married for 9 months. He was the true love of her life. He continued to send flowers to her memorial, her gravesite, 3 times a week for 20 years after she passed away.
Did he? She had that in fact. How old was she when she did it?
She was 36.
Is that all she was?
Yeah.
It's a sad story.
Yeah. And we also, just one final thing we have, a reel of The Misfits, which is really last movie that she was in, and also Clark Gable. He got a heart attack 2 days after finishing the filming of The Misfits in Nevada as well, and 9 days later he passed away. Oh. So that was their last movie. So there's a 16mm reel. It's 19 minutes in length of the two of them behind the scenes on the filming of The Misfits. Great. And she kept that, and it's hers that we're selling.
All in Newbridge silverware from today. What a lovely way to
spend
an afternoon.
So this is a world exclusive too, because Newbridge is the first place that we've actually brought these letters to.
Okay.
And from here we go to New York and then back to Los Angeles, a full week-long exhibition
There'll be massive interest in it, of course. And then on to auction then in the States in the new year, is it, or Christmas?
No, actually we're going to sell on December 5th and 6th is the auction.
Okay, I presume the market is out the door for something like that.
Absolutely.
People want anything
Marilyn, especially something that's fresh to the market, never seen before. Yeah. Essentially it came from Marilyn, she kept these, really important to her. And then Lee Strasberg, who was the beneficiary or inherited her estate, he kept them, he gifted to a friend, and it's a family member now who's selling them.
Passing them on.
And has kept them under wraps since then, and as you will tell me, in excellent condition.
In excellent condition. And I don't presume anything. I suspect that sometimes, will these things be bought by other movie stars who would like a piece of this, or is it by businessmen or women who are just fascinated by her?
So to own something like this is to covet something. You know, you want to own something because you say, wow, I have this amazing letter. So it's a great conversation piece. So it's fans, and she has amazing fans worldwide. It's investors, because they see the potential of buying something like this and holding it for a few years and selling it on, it'll go higher. Museums love it.
It
brings people in the door.
What's the guide on her letter?
Her letter, we estimate 4,000 to 6,000, but again, it'll go for...
In buckets more. I would have thought it was very low for...
Again, it's a conservative auction estimate. Yeah. You don't know. You can't really put a price on something like that. We haven't really sold anything like it before.
Yeah.
Never came to the market before, so...
You'll probably be pleasantly surprised from an auction point of view.
I hope so, and it's a really important part of pop culture history.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Martin, it's good to see you as always.
Pleasure.
It's an intriguing twist in the Marilyn Monroe story. How did they end, Marilyn Monroe and Arthur Miller?
Yeah, sadly they parted, and for 20 years he never really came to terms with the fact that she had died and accepted. I think about 20 years after she had died, he actually talked about his sadness and he actually cried, I think, for the first time after losing Marilyn.
They broke up eventually.
They did.
Intensity. It's extraordinary.
Yeah, so she died very lonely and sad in 1962.
What a story. I think I might pick up a book about her now during the Christmas holidays.
Oh, there's great books.
I must get a recommendation of a decent one.
There's a good one out there about Marilyn and Joe DiMaggio.
Is there?
Yeah,
okay.
Your receptionist is just reading it right now.
Is she? I must have a word with her about that. Yeah. Martin Nolan from Julian's Auction House, thanks so much for coming to see us this morning. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. You know your stuff and it's great entertainment.
Tough job.
Yeah, you got it.
Like
take
you.
Take it to a therapist in it. Thanks, Martin.